I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello there, Private Parts listeners. This is your host, Francis Boole, just coming to you, giving you a bit of an intro to this fantastic episode with none other than McFly's Harry Judd, the drummer and the heartthrob of the band, arguably. Myself and Jamie chat to Harry about all sorts of insider gossip from McFly, McBusted. It's a fantastic episode, just in time for Christmas. Please take care and enjoy, sit back, listen to the great Harry Judd.
So, before we kick things off, Harry, I just want to apologise to you because when hosts of podcasts ask a guest to come on a podcast, you're doing the favour for us. But actually, I've had to move this podcast so many times and you have a family, you've released an album, you've done everything.
Yeah, mate, and you were pushing a lot. It's just fucking rude, to be honest.
Fucking rude. Fucking
rude. No, the truth is, the first time we had scheduled, I forgot. Mm-hmm. I think we were scheduled to chat on like 7:30 last week or something, and it got to about 8:30. I was just chilling at home. I was suddenly like, "Oh shit! I'm supposed to be doing that podcast." My wife was like, "Oh, you're such an idiot! Like, oh my god, you're so unorganized."
Mate, that's actually true. You're the wanker. That's actually yeah.
But I could screenshot our messages because you,
mate, I'll screenshot our messages. You're the wanker. I can delete everything.
No, well, we're here, mate.
We're here. Also, what was so good, dude, is that we had the day before. We had to. Have you ever tried? We said this on the last podcast, but have you ever tried the Wim Hof technique?
I was talking about this today, actually.
Well, you actually?
Yeah, because I was on the beach in West Wittering, and it was freezing, and I was chatting to someone about this Wim Hof thing, and yeah, mm-hmm. I'm intrigued.
Firstly, why were you on a beach in Wittering?
We were shooting a music video today.
Shut up.
Yeah, man.
We're freaking up, baby!
Imagine if I wasn't, I was just saying it to sound cool. That's why I was up at 4:30 this morning.
You've got kids as well, you're up that early anyway.
Yeah, dude, no, not that early, man. It was a shocker. But we were on a beach shooting a music video, so...
Can you give a little insight to what it's like, or do you have to save all that?
Well, do you know, it was the easiest video shoot I've ever done. I mean, it must be like... I don't know, like the 30th video shoot we've done.
All right, bragging. Like, go on, bragging. Yeah, all right.
Whatever. Call it 40, round it up. And it was literally 10 minutes each, just walking along a beach, like looking kind of like...
What, sexy?
Because it's quite... I didn't want to say it, Jamie. So it's like, it's quite a chilled song. So it was quite... And literally did that. And then there's... other bits going on that we're not needed for, and then it was literally shitting it down. So the director was like, yeah, cool, I can't really use any more stuff because of the weather, so we were done.
Wait, hang on.
It was easy.
So, hang on.
It's going to be a good video, though.
Yeah, see, the director was like, yeah, probably got it, guys. This.
Because, Jamie, I nailed it in one take. That's the truth. Just didn't want to say.
Mate, but I always find this, like, because I remember when I was younger, right, I would watch, like, I would come home from on holidays and I would spend a lot of the time going onto MTV, all those shows, smash hits, all those ones on like the Sky that you could get. Music videos were like a huge thing. They were like such an epic thing, but I feel like that's changed now.
Yeah, I know, I feel like that, but still, like, they still, like, the label, you know, we still do them and there's still budget for them and we still do them, and but they're kind of used in a different way. They're obviously more for like this purpose of like YouTube and just like your online stuff. I mean, they still get, I think they still get played in like gyms and stuff, but people don't sit. I was the same. It's just like at school, I remember there was like the TV and the, in, and just like the music videos were on. And then, you know, in the early days of the band house, we would, like when we had just a few hours at home, we'd just sit and watch the music channel.
Yes. See?
But it's just not a thing anymore, is it?
I don't know. I don't understand why it's not a thing. But anyway.
It's because we're old, mate. Kids watch on YouTube.
Speak for yourself, mate. Speak for yourself.
How old are you, Jamie?
32.
32? Really? Yeah, you look older.
Shut the fuck up. how old are you, Harry? Can I ask?
I'm 34.
Yeah, there you go. Two years, baby.
Wise, mate.
Wise. Well, I think it's wise on your face. That's.
I was supposed to have a shave today, but I didn't have anything important tonight, so I didn't bother.
Mate, but the point of my story was, is that, so basically we meant to have Wim Hof on the podcast, and then he cancelled on us. He didn't cancel, he just didn't turn up to the podcast because he got wrong time zones. Wasn't his fault.
Are you sure? Do you see, maybe just research what your podcast was and was like,
no, he didn't. If he had researched it, he'd have been like, holy shit, I should. He'd probably be early for it. He'd be early for it. And then we had you on the next one. And the next day, and as we got on, we were making jokes. We're like, oh, imagine if Harry doesn't turn up for this one. And then you bailed on us. And we were just like, is everyone bailing on our podcast?
Oh, my God. I'm so bad. He just got the right. I know, I just forgot.
Yeah, I didn't think he wanted to be in tandem with you. That's my thoughts. I think that he was just like, I'm not having that guy.
Yeah, pressure for Wim Hof. I'd way rather listen to him chat than me. I mean, honestly, it's fascinating, all that shit.
Do you meditate or anything like that? Have you ever meditated?
I've tried, mate. I think I need it, but I'm just too... Like, I have a busy, like, brain, and I think that's why I really need it, but I just can't seem to get into it, like...
How is your mind busy? How do you think your mind is busy?
I just think in the day, like, I just can't sort of stop. I don't do sitting still and like. But I find this may sound like ridiculous, but I find like I think meditation in other things. So like whether that's exercise or like playing the drums or just doing a task. Because for me, meditation, like, well, for me, what I need is something that keeps me present, you know? And also, when I'm busy with the band, like, I'm that's when I'm at my happiest. So I don't really ever feel... I don't feel the need to, like, do meditation. I kind of feel happy. I think when I need something is when I'm not busy. That's what I struggle with.
So this is the same as me. And this is good chat because I think a lot of people, especially during this whole lockdown period, from my experience, what I found out is that when I'm not busy... I feel like a lack of a sense of purpose.
Oh, mate.
And it's a horrible feeling. And I didn't realize that's it has a huge effect on sort of anxiety levels and things like that. When you don't feel like you are doing anything, it kind of makes you feel just not good, right? It makes you feel like a busy mind.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, I think it was when I was 31, maybe it was, we took a bit of a break from the band and... I had, for that 3-year period, I had like loads of chunks of time where I wasn't busy. And I'll be honestly saying that it was the worst time of my adult life because I literally didn't have a purpose and I just questioned everything. Yeah. And I was just like, it's really bad for your self-esteem because you're just sort of, you're like, you used to get to the point where it's like, what is the point in me? Like, what do I even do? Like, and it's really bad. Yeah, it's crazy. And I think people perceive, you know, oh, you've been a band or you've been successful, whatever. But that's great. But if in that moment you're not doing anything. So for the first couple of years, I really struggled with it. And I think I was, you know, wasted a lot of time feeling sorry for myself. And I think I kind of managed to turn it around by, you know, just keeping myself busy where I could. Because at the end of the day, like, you know, you've only got yourself to rely on. And I mean, obviously, like, friends and family and stuff supportive, but it's, yeah, man, I think I can, yeah, I totally feel you.
It's a weird one because I'm glad that we normally get this deep, but I know you're an emotional soul. So.
I'm a sensitive guy.
Yeah. Harry, you are a sensitive guy. So, but it's good to get into this because I had the sense as well. Oh, here's Francis. Hold on one second. Francis just joining in.
Francois,
here he is. Hey, buddy. Sorry, we started without you.
Okay, I'm recording, guys. So
yeah, you just start recording. Can, it's chill fine. Out now. And then you can just jump in. Talking to Harry just about like how you deal with stuff when you don't have a purpose, right? And weirdly, what happened for me is I realized that this year, especially with lockdown, I kind of went into this sense. It sounds really deep, but questioning everything, like you kind of said, Harry, like questioning stuff like, what is the point of this? What is the point of everything?
Should I keep bleaching my hair? Why am I still doing this at 33?
32, mate.
32. You're older than me, Francis. Get
touched a nerve there.
Yeah. I started questioning stuff like that, which I'd never questioned before.
Had you not questioned it before? I'm surprised you hadn't questioned it before. Mm. If I was you, I would have questioned it. Long time ago.
Listen. No, not
what
me.
What is the point in me?
Should I maybe think of doing something else?
I was, before I was actually thought I was the Messiah. I was like, this is what.
He's not joking.
But then, dude, with you, Harry, is that you've been working pretty much since you were like a teenager.
Yeah. 17, yeah.
How was that when the band started?
I was 17, yeah. I mean, Dougie, our bass player, was 15. So... yeah, he was.
That's crazy. That's child labour.
literally. He lied though. He lied in the audition. He told us he was 16 because that was the limit. So yeah, like I mean, say working. I guess it is work, but it's been an amazing job. So it's the best job in the world, literally.
Can we just talk about the fact? Say McFly, right? You guys have been freaking rocking it. Since you first hit every like the charts and hit, you've been rocking it for what is it? It's 15 years.
It's like 16 years now. 16, 17 years. Well, we've been a band for 17 years, but we've released our like first song about 16 years ago.
Wow!
You can put ticket sales up now, and it sells out like that, doesn't it? Is that all the money just going, phew, there we go, that's it, baby.
Listen,
yeah.
It's not about money, Jamie, come on.
No, I know it's not. Of course it's not.
No, it's, look, we are we're lucky, man. Like, I think, you know, for a pop band, like longevity, you don't really put longevity and pop music together. But we've been really lucky and, yeah, managed to keep going and keep kind of having a good level of success, so... It's yeah, we've always said it.
But why is that?
Well, I have a theory. I think.
Come on. Here
we go. So we are like when we started, we essentially had the same fan base as a boy band, right? As a traditional boy band, and a lot of people saw us as a boy band, and that's fine. Like I guess a lot of things about us.
Never.
Yeah, man. But a lot of things about us, we were like a kind of a boy band. But
you're a rock band, punk rock band.
I say pop rock. So we're pop rock,
okay.
But
pop rock.
But for me,
you're always punk to me.
It doesn't surprise me, Francis. I saw your interview with Danny, and you was talking about the Noise Next Door and how you thought they were like really hardcore. I was like, dude, they were not hardcore.
No, I didn't think they were hardcore. No, they lived down the road from me.
I know, Henley, like, we've heard it all before, Francis.
Yeah,
come
yeah,
on.
Yeah.
I used to think hardcore was like Sum 41. I honestly thought they were like, do you remember Sum 41?
Yeah, man, yeah. So, I mean, my wife thought like McFly were hardcore. So everyone has their different perception of music. So anyway, for me, because we wrote all our songs, we played our instruments, I think there's a more of an investment for our fans in like being the fan of what traditionally a boy band was a four or five piece singing, dancing boy band that, or, you know, wore matching suits, stood up on the key change. Whereas for us, our fans were coming to shows where they were seeing live music, they were seeing us singing lyrics that were written by us. That, so it has more meaning, there's more of a connection and more of an investment for a fan. And we always put on great shows, and I think that's paid off. And also a genuine friendship, you know, of a group that I think, you know, the fans really, really enjoy. So we're lucky, we've got a really amazing hardcore following that allows us to keep going and keep doing what we do.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
But then why, I always find this, why with bands, notoriously, right, stereotypically, right, bands always have that, like, fallout. Oh, this thing happens, or that thing's happened. Mm. Why does that, is that, why does that happen? Is that just down to people thinking that they're bigger than the band, or people
egos.
Thinking they can do this? Ego. Is it down to egos? What is it?
I think it's everyone's egos. It's not, for our case, it was never an individual. I mean, obviously, everyone has an ego, but I think from my point of view, from, you know, my experience, it's because you are literally sharing everything together. Like, we lived together from the age of 17 for like 3 years, and we lived together, we worked together, we like were friends, we were like
parties,
business part. Yeah, but it was everything. Like, and also we dated each other. How did you know that?
You were the drummer, so you were clinging on to everything.
I was, yeah, I know. I was like the dude at the
scraps from the Lord's table.
But we also, the thing is, right, when you do creative stuff as well, it can be the most amazing thing, but it can be really difficult, you know. And I don't know, like, from the, like I said, from Dougie was 15, he's 32 now. Like, you go through a lot, you change, but.
Yeah, you do change. You do change, but
the drummer's traditionally the cool one that all the ladies want, right, Harry?
Yeah, unfortunately not in our band.
No.
Well, no, I mean
the mysterious one. It's like, what is he? No, he never sings.
No,
he did sing actually.
No, do you know Dougie was more like the character of what a drummer normally was like. He was like the mysterious one.
Yeah,
I think I'm like the annoying one that never shuts up. But no, like Danny and Doug were like the heartthrobs of our band, Danny and Dougie, for sure.
No, absolutely not.
You know, Ari, I think you were the heartthrob.
Guys, just take a quick look on Google, you know, McFly 2004, and just take a look at a few pictures.
You
will
can't
understand.
Wait. I can't
we're
wait.
Harry Judd mullet. McFly Brit Awards. You'll understand where I'm coming from, seriously.
Mate, that hairstyle is absolutely high end.
Mate, I was struggling with that.
One thing I can't abide by is that choker necklace. I just can't abide by that.
I'm going to embarrass my girlfriend who's just gone and says, hey, I said that you were coming on the podcast and her teenage girl fan came out. She's been to all of your concerts. I couldn't believe it. Yeah, she's been to all of them. She went to them when she was much younger because she's 25.
Man.
Yeah. She was that core audience, but you were her heartthrob. She had a poster.
But wait, so she's been to them? Have you? Because you've done some recently.
We were not this year, unfortunately. But we did a show at the O2 in November. Like, we hadn't...
Didn't you do one in Hyde Park or something?
Yeah, we played...
McBusted.
Yeah, that was... So we, from 2014 to 2016, we did McBusted. And then we then took a... For the first time in like 12 years, we took a break for a couple of years. And then we did a comeback show at the O2 last November. And then we had a tour. Like, we had like 50 shows planned for this year. We obviously...
That must be like a first when for like two bands who are really... You know, you would think are kind of competing for the same audience, but I guess the fact there's a huge crossover, so you guys could actually do a collaboration. Yeah. I mean, you couldn't imagine, like, I don't know, like Oasis and you know Stone Roses or Blur, yeah, or whatever doing something like that.
Yeah.
Has that ever happened before, like an actual collaboration?
There's been super groups like back in the 70s, like rock
is that
band,
what it's called, a super group?
A super group, yeah. I mean, I don't think we
McBusted. That's what he calls it.
Yeah,
that's what I call it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think McBusted quite qualifies as a super group, but. Back in the day, like, you would have, you know...
Like The Band. The Band.
The Band? What's that?
What's The Band?
Band? You know, the Band is a supergroup.
What the hell are you talking about, Francis? What do you mean, The Band?
The Band. Look, Google it. Look, hold on. The Band.
The Band.
Is a rock band, which... So, associated acts. Bob Dylan, John Simon, Carl Simons, Van Morrison. Harry, I don't want to, like...
Yeah, you kind of have kind of embarrassed me there, yeah. So, thanks for that.
That is, you know...
But, so, traditionally, supergroups are, like you said, like... band, like members from other big bands coming together, and you know, there could be three people from three different bands. But what happened with us is we were actually managed by the same company as Busted, and McFly happened because Tom was originally in Busted. He was in Busted for 24 hours. He got in the group. Yeah, it was him and so Matt and James started the band. Then Tom and Charlie started at the same time, and then 24 hours later, they were like, "Actually, dude, we don't want you in the band anymore." But the management were like, "But we still want to manage you. We think you've got potential." So they then carried on managing Tom. And then Tom met Danny. So then that was like, Tom was like, "Oh, I'm being managed by Buster's managers. And like, I've got this, I've been writing some songs." And well, I've, you know, then they came up with the name McFly. Tom and Danny got a deal. Me and Dougie auditioned. So Busted and McFly, like, we toured with Busted back in 2004. We supported them on their arena tour.
Oh my God.
And you know, I went to the same school as Charlie, Tom went to the same school as Matt, James and Tom.
What?
Both, yeah, like,
just
there's
by coincidence
of, yeah, kind of. I mean, I found out about the McFly audition because someone I was in a band with at school wanted to do what Charlie had done, and he was in the year above me at school, and so he so it was kind of coincidence, but you know, connection. Like I said, Matt and Tom went to the same school. James and Tom both played Oliver in the West End when they were teenagers.
What?
So basically, we knew them. And like, James Bourne had written, who's in Busted, he'd written some McFly songs. Tom had written some Busted songs. So we were kind of friends with them anyway. So what happened was, McFly were on tour in 2013. James Bourne from Busted was on tour with us, just hanging out. He was backstage at the venue. And we were like, "Dude, why don't you go out, before we go on, go out with your acoustic and play some songs." And he was like, "Yeah, why not?" So he went out. We were playing in Manchester, and he went out with his acoustic, played a couple of songs, and then he played Year 3000, you know, the massive Busted song, and the whole place went fucking crazy. And our manager, was who used to manage him, was just like, "Oh my God, how are we gonna get Busted back?" Because Charlie had basically said, "I'm never doing Busted ever again." So our manager was like, the next day was like, "Guys, why don't we like do a tour with McFly and Busted, but it's just Matt and James, and you know, you could play some McFly songs. And I don't know what it is yet, but what do you think?" And we were like, "Yeah, all right, sounds fun." Thinking, and also we were calling it McBusted, and I thought, that is a shit name. Like, that is never good. Like, I was like,
it's like
got...
sex.
But it does, it says everything.
It works. But I was just like, this is a terrible idea. And then the promoter was like, "Oh, we're going to put on 18 arenas. And I was like, "Oh my God, what are we doing? This is so punchy. Like, 18 arenas. Like,
18 arenas. We literally, mate, so many tickets.
We it was insane. We like, it's like 150,000 tickets or something. And
yeah,
we were like,
so many.
We were sat in this hotel on the launch day, and we were so nervous, thinking, "Oh my God, this could be so embarrassing. Like, this could do nothing." Literally 5-10 minutes after tickets went on sale, the promoter was like, sold out. We're putting another 18. We did 36 arenas. What? And had, and then on the same day, suddenly it was like, oh, you've been offered to headline Hyde Park. It was fucking crazy.
How, how do you come from a point where you're like, okay, we've never done this before. Let's book 18 arenas. Like, how do you, how do they know that they're all going to get sold out so quickly?
Well, that's the skill. That's the skill of our manager. And also, I think we naturally as a band are like super insecure. We like when we put on the O2 last year, we're like, oh, maybe we'll do like 3,000 tickets. And eventually, you know, we can put some black curtains at the top and cover some of the seats and, you know.
I just love it.
It's like us in Southport.
Yeah, when we did our podcast tour, very similar. Yeah. We couldn't have filled out the empty seats.
But I think that's what it is. We're like super insecure. And then again, that thankfully that sold out.
But how humbling though, Harry. That's
the opposite of humbling.
No, but I mean, so it's so lovely. Yeah, it's the opposite of humbling. But it's so lovely to hear because loads of your fans who will be hearing this now would just be thinking, what, are you kidding me? You know, all this, we love it, all that kind of stuff. But still, you guys are humble enough to think that you go, well, we don't know, we're still nervous. It may not work. It may be this, it may be that. And then I bet you would...
They were.
Then you were chuffed that Charlie still wasn't in the band. Cha-ching!
Yeah, but then he came back.
Did he say, guys, look, where's my little, well, where's my cup?
I think he saw the success, because he'd said, I'm never doing Busted. And then he was like, well, I say never. But, and then, so after McBusted did 2 years of touring, Busted then toured. And yeah, that was great. Like, it was great to see the three of them back doing Busted as well. So look, it was an amazing experience.
Bigger stage.
You bet. It was kind of weird. It did get to a point where it was like, guys, we're now, it's like 6 30-year-old guys like jumping around on stage singing Air Hostess, and you know, you could get away with it in the UK because there's context. But the mistake we made is because it was so massive, it was like, we ended up going to Australia and supporting One Direction. This is the truth. I was like, guys, seriously, 6 30-year-olds in a band called McBusted. Bear in mind, in Australia, they don't really know McFly or Busted. Can you imagine that as a prospect? So, yeah, I went to see One Direction and there was 6 32-year-olds singing about air hostesses. And they were called McBusted. It's really weird.
Because also the demographic of One Direction's audience is way younger.
It's a bit younger, yeah. But what we had to our advantage, because we had Year 3000 in the set list, and Jonas Brothers had covered that and made it a massive hit. So, you know, and look, you know, we know how to put on a show. Yeah, we know how to put on a show. So we managed to win around the audiences. But I was just like, guys, McBusted out of context is like the shittest band. Like, but if you're in the UK, it's amazing. Like, it was. We put on amazing
it's
shows.
It's like a transformer of amazing bands coming together. It's amazing. Yeah. I just love the fact that you guys on the height of it, like, we saw here, fuck it, let's go to Australia. Let's go.
Terrible idea.
Okay.
It was an amazing experience, because have a small part of like seeing what One Direction were experiencing, just playing these stadiums around the world, like that was incredible, you know.
Yeah, that would be insane. Hey, listen, we're going to hear more. Francis, we need to have that question of the week, buddy boy.
Oh, yes. All right.
All right.
From 1945... Wait, okay, no.
Okay, change it up. Here we go. This is how prepared we are. We've done over 200 episodes of this, and we're still late for our guests. And
all right. Every day, how many US dollars are shredded and turned into compost?
I want the 1945 question.
Yeah, so do I.
Okay, I'll give you two. So you got that question, which is obviously a number. And then I was trying to work out how to make this into a question, this fact. Okay, all right. How long did a chicken in 1945 live without a head?
I've definitely heard that one before.
I've heard this one before as well, I think.
Yeah, I feel like it's a long time.
It was like a kid's tale that the chicken got its head cut off and it used to run around.
Yeah, everyone knows this as a kid.
It's called a headless chicken.
Yes, that's where it comes from.
You guys...
It was one of those like pieces
running
of
around like a headless chicken.
You know, you can cut the head off a chicken.
Yeah, it was that.
You know, the headless chicken is right. So because you can grab a chicken by its head and spin it round, and then the head comes off, And then the chicken runs around in a circle for like, and then so running around like a headless chicken. But this is actually a story of a chicken that had its head cut off, but then it lived. And I want to ask you how long it lived for.
Yes, Francis.
And then attached to that question is another question. It's not attached. There's nothing to do. There's completely
no
separate.
Segue.
There's no connection between the headless chicken and the amount of US dollars. Shredded and turned into compost.
Okay, Harry, I tell you, you answer the chicken one, I'll answer the compost.
Okay, I'm going to go. I feel like it's something ridiculous, like, you know, 24 hours or something.
What?
What, the chicken?
That's a bit mental, actually, isn't
that's
it?
Mental.
That definitely didn't happen. I was going to say a week. Glad I didn't say that. Fucking hell.
It survived.
Okay, did I say 24 hours? I meant 24 minutes. I was up at 4:30. Give me a break.
You think, how long do you think it went for?
24 minutes, I said.
24 minutes?
24 minutes without a head.
Okay. Well, if it's like a minute and it's a shit story and no one would know about it, what is it?
The compost one, I'm going to say over $1 million.
Over $1 million? Yeah, well, I mean, have you got to be specific?
No, I don't know. $1 million and $1.
All right, and Harry?
I don't know, like $500,000.
$500,000.
And yeah, I'm going to say the chicken ran for 2 minutes.
All right. Okay. All right. Well, I will reveal the answer to both of those questions in part two.
All right, buddy. Listen, Harry, you got to stick around. We'll be back in part two in just a second.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.